You're listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Doggy. What's not to feel good about? Hal Sparks is home sleeping at my house. We're living in marital bliss. And Joanne Worley's coming on next hour.
Oh, it's my...
And Jim Ward is here now.
Hey.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Oh, life is complete.
Busted.
What?
You.
What do you mean? What?
What?
I'm busted how? What did I do?
Oh, leaving the napkin in there.
Oh, okay. Jim, I have to whisper.
Why is that?
Here at the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International, someone else uses the studio, and apparently they're here now. Anyway, but they left me. I'm going to send that note to passiveaggressivenotes.com.
Yes.
I left one single napkin here yesterday, and there was a giant mimeograph note that said, please do not leave things in this space.
Mimeograph, no less. That means it's serious.
Was it all caps?
Yes.
It was.
All caps are really bold block letters. Like, it must have taken time to find that font and that size. That took some doing. Stephen in Phoenix writes, Steph, do not remove the mimeograph sheet. Leave it there. I would also double the number of napkins you leave for yourself.
Thank you. No, that's not passive aggressive.
No, my listeners are just as immature as I am.
Exactly.
Someone left their carbon dioxide in this room.
Oh, dear.
I am not breathing this air.
Jim, my marriage to Hal Sparks is going as you would expect.
Yeah.
He is the perfect husband. He read the president's entire health care plan. Mm-hmm. We talk politics. We watch MSNBC. He went grocery shopping for me. He bought the big dogs bones for my dogs.
Check.
He took them for a walk, or as he calls it, the Iditarod, in Central Park yesterday.
Check. And now he's bagging out all of Tiger Woods' girlfriends.
Yeah, and then he had a date with another woman last night. Don't know when he got home. Find out about it tomorrow.
When is
his
apology statement?
I think that's the best I could expect. Pardon me?
Is he going to have an apology statement soon?
Yes, he will have an apology to me tomorrow on Hump Days with Hal.
Apologize to all his fans for letting them down.
Did you wait up for him last night like an angry parent whose kid gets home too late from a date?
Yeah, with a rolling pin all liquored up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew better than to wait up anyway. All right.
Who could have seen that coming?
We'll get all the information tomorrow on Hump Days with Hal about our new marriage and his dating life, which is completely separate from that.
Well, that'll be a whole show unto itself.
Yes.
All right.
He's got a few ladies in every port, methinks.
Dear God, Jim, it was like walking through Central Park with John Lennon. There was people screaming, Hal Sparks! I'm like, oh, dear God. Leave him alone, he's with me! It was very,
His level
a challenging day.
His level of fame is quite a bit higher than yours.
Just a bit.
Well, whose isn't?
He's somewhere between you and John Lennon, but closer to John Lennon.
Oh, he also pointed out a landmark to me that I didn't know.
What?
He gave me the funnest fact ever. He pointed out the building that Ghostbusters was shot in. The roof. The dozer and the Keymaster point part at the end on the top with the,
Keymaster?
Was that the Dakota?
No, that's John Lennon's building.
The Dakota was also the building that the finale of the Ghostbusters
was shot.
Okay. The Dakota was also Rosemary's Baby's building.
He knows everything.
Right.
He's
right.
So smart. Say again?
The Dakota was also Rosemary's Baby's building.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
There's another fun fact.
It's already creepy.
Yeah. As if he didn't have enough satanic worship going on.
All right. By the by, I don't know if we'll get this book in, Chris. But can we see if we can get George Will on so I can beat him about the face and head like everyone else in my family has?
Yeah, we'll put in a call.
He'll be like, is that the fart joke, sister? Yeah, can I have my fine American music? I mentioned the other day, he wrote a column in which he compared my father, who ran with Barry Goldwater in 64, to Sarah Palin. To which, Jim, as you can imagine, the whole family, my whole family, kind of chatty. A little bit chatty. He got some very long letters from both of my sisters. I'll read a little bit of the first one. This is from Mary. She's the screaming liberal sister now, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, Bill Miller. Hi, George. I hope I don't come across as an overly sensitive, biased daughter, but I can feel compelled to take issue with your reference to my dad in your 219 column. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, trust me. It's a four-hour conversation, my sister. On to Sarah Palin. I bristle at any attempt at lumping her together with my dad as both being questionable choices by maverick candidates or, as you state, an entertaining dimension of Barry in choosing someone who, quote, had negligible experience pertinent to the presidency. My dad was not a household name, to be sure, but by God, he came with a fair number of credentials, having served, as you mentioned, as an assistant prosecutor at Nuremberg trials, a 14-year congressman, also as congressional campaign committee chairman and Republican national chairman, a man who was highly respected, greatly admired by politicians on both sides of the aisle.
Just
how
like Sarah
that?
Palin.
Yeah. And a hell of a poker player.
For his intelligence, wit, savvy political sense, and big tent demeanor that allowed him to support Nelson Rockefeller over Richard Nixon for president 4 years later. He liked it, Nixon.
Well, who did?
My dad didn't like him. See, he had good judgment.
Yeah.
Did you mean to suggest that Dad was never considered to be a presidential candidate in 68 because he, well, just didn't measure up, was too much of a populist? I can tell you why he was never mentioned. He already decided not to run for Congress again before the VP thing came up, had sold our house in Washington. He had to go raise me, the wolf child. And planned to return to private law practice in our upstate New York hometown. He was never the shameless self-promoter that Sarah Palin is. She is charismatic, to be sure, but is, in my view, an embarrassment to a party that once stood for something important. In fact, I, along with so many others, do not recognize the GOP of today, nor do I think my dad would. Mary Miller James,
yeah.
My sister! Get George Will on the phone!
We'll put in a call.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be anxious.
He'll be like, not that sister. Really? No.
The wolf child?
The wolf child? No. Oh, boy. How about that conservative hero, Scott Brown?
Oh, my God.
Ah! Rush Limbaugh's head's going to explode today. What?
He must be impeached immediately, my friends.
Once again, good job so far, teabaggers. Good job.
He's a phony. He's a liberal in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, Sean Hannity had nothing to say about that last night. Because Sean Hannity was the one crowing about his win. Yeah.
Listen, speaking of bipartisan, I think we need to play It's Getting Hot in Here. Let's take off all our clothes in honor of Senator Scott Brown, who, hello, that maybe he is our bipartisan hope. He joined the Republicans in getting the job bill, at least to the next stage.
Supported the Massachusetts health care bill, which is far more progressive than the one that they're trying to...
Yeah, here's to the naked guy in the truck, everybody. Let's, you know what, in honor of Scott Brown, let's take off all our clothes, everybody.
It is.
No? All right. Oh! Just saying. All right. We will talk about that more later. For just a T and a he in the meantime. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? Oh, Glenn Beck is going to have a barking frenzy today, isn't he, Jim, over the Scott Brown thing?
No, they're not going to mention it. Nobody on Fox News mentioned it yesterday.
They're
trying to sweep it under the rug.
I'm sure Roger
Ailes
sent out a memo. Don't talk about Scott Brown anymore, ever again.
He's the name that shall not be mentioned.
Yes.
All right. Glenn Beck at the CPAC.
It is still morning in America.
Yeah.
It just happens to be kind of a head-pounding, hungover, vomiting for 4 hours kind of morning in America.
Sounds like he knows something about that.
Yeah. He does. Admittedly.
Yeah. Yes, I'll say. All right. He went on to say...
Hello. My name is the Republican Party, and I got a problem. I'm addicted to spending and big government.
Wow.
All right.
If he could only be louder, Jim, it would be better.
What? Can you get on mic a little bit more?
We can't quite hear you.
Oh, boy. Once again, if you can't be right, be loud.
He's a broadcaster. He should know that, you know, you shouldn't speak.
Yeah. Yeah, Glenn, you don't have to get quite up on that mic that far. Sounds like Linda Tripp's thigh mic.
Oh.
Oh, now we have to play that bit again.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We never do. Us old-time Stephanie Miller Show fans, remember? All right. Newt Gingrich at the on the O'Reilly.
I don't believe that President Obama in any way is like Fidel Castro. But I do believe he is in exactly the tradition of the French socialist or the Italian socialist or the German socialist. I think he'd have been very comfortable in the Social Democratic Party in Germany.
Yeah.
I think he'd have been very comfortable in the pre-Tony Blair Labour Party in Great Britain. I think he represents a strain of left-wing big government. Government is smart. You're stupid. Government should decide everything. You're not capable of it.
If only you were a social democrat like Willy Brandt.
Yeah. This you know, Jim, this health care bill couldn't be more centrist. I mean, that's you know, clearly, even in this bill made.
Even conservatives in Germany, like Angela Merkel, wouldn't dream of stopping the health care plan.
No.
They'd be out on their ass in a second.
It works so well.
I know. And the insurance industry, another perfect example of something that should be regulated by the government.
Absolutely.
If they can't regulate
themselves. They proved that.
It is like a utility.
It's like the utility. Can you imagine? You know, the gas company went, this month your bill's $10,000, we think.
Well, Republicans want to be like a utility under the Enron scandal.
Right. Exactly.
Privately owned.
O'Reilly.
I don't want the feds price controlling health at this point.
Oh.
I think you can price control in the free marketplace by opening it up to free competition.
Sure.
That's
like
why I don't
now?
Get Obama, and that's why Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh might be right. Because the common sense thing is try the free marketplace competition first.
That's what
try the tort reform in conjunction.
But he's an ideologue who
bring
doesn't
it down.
But he doesn't want to do that.
Jim, okay, I was just going to say, am I wrong? Isn't that what we've been doing?
Exactly.
What do you mean open the free market now?
Oh, we don't need price controls. Let them raise their people's bills by 39%. It's just the free market.
Yeah. See how well that's working in California?
You know what, though?
Anthem users, hello.
I would kind of like to see these companies able to compete across state lines. I think we could have strong enough regulations on a federal level where
But that's what you need, because otherwise they're just going to the state with the least regulation.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Okay. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. I know, stop pointing at me. Listen, it's that time of day when I talk about P90X. Can I just tell you something honestly, Chris? I'm having the most fun ever.
Isn't it awesome?
I've never done a home workout program before. Can I just say, because you know me, I'm a homebody, and I don't like to do anything that doesn't involve my dogs. My dog
or house parks.
Well, it's we're living in a whole domestic bliss now, all of us. But
are you doing your P90X together? Because he's doing it too.
He does P90. He didn't do it with me yesterday. I did it with the dogs. But seriously, the dogs worked out while I was working. They got very excited. Although there was one exercise that Max thought the point was to bite my ass. So I had to but you can modify in P90X, you see. And so I had to modify around the dogs a little bit. However, but I mean, if you like to spend more time at home with your dogs, with your kids can do it with you. It was really fun. You got the privacy of your own home. You don't have to clean the sweat off someone else's machines at a health club. You don't have to spend the money that you spend on a health club. You don't have to drive, spend gas money, parking, all of that stuff. I loved it. I did the cardio intervals yesterday. It kicked my ass. Seriously, it did. I'm doing, today is arms and abs. It's great because you don't get bored. I'm the kind of person, I tend to do the same workout. You remember, every day, I'm like a plow horse.
Yeah, every day.
I would go to spinning.
I got to get out of here. I got to go to spinning.
Weights at the gym. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then your body just plateaus, or you get, those overuse injuries. You don't get that with P90X. And check this out. You got to try it with me. There's a 90-day radio-exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days if you aren't completely satisfied. Return it for a refund. What do you have to lose? Call now. 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. 800-509-9FIT. Or go to StephanieMiller.com right now. Click on that there banner ad, won't you? 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering, it's soul-changing, it's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I put my hand up on your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. You put your hand up on my hip. When you dip, I dip, we dip. I put my hand up on your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. You put yours instead of put mine. And we can dip down low and
roll it.
Do you ever dip down low and roll and grind?
No, I told you I visited my 87-year-old mom over the weekend, and I'm going to get one of those toilet high chairs she has. Because they're good for drinking. You don't have to dip quite as low. Okay. You know what? Can I just tell you, Hal Sparks mocked me mercilessly yesterday. He's staying with me for a couple days here in New York. He mocked me mercilessly for being old yesterday.
Yes.
Because, Hal's very, what's the kids are saying, hep, with the new technology and all. And first of all, he mocked me for, I like the old music. You know what I mean? I have the old jazz on.
The Sinatra channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He asked me, first of all, why I always have that on, and then also I have a paper calendar on my desk.
He goes, why do you?
Don't you have a calendar? I'm like, I like to see it in front of me. I like to have the calendar here. Because I'm like, yeah, I have one on my computer, but I like to, whatever.
You need
and
to,
then he started doing a whole routine about me getting, like, coupons and putting things, I don't know, stamps on my, whatever. All right.
Yeah.
I'm not used
you
to having people around.
You probably mail things still, don't you?
Listen, I'm Norma Desmond. I'm used to just being here with a dead monkey. Shut up. I don't. Stop mocking me.
You're going
to
have a dead screenwriter floating face down in your pool.
All right. 25 minutes after the hour. Let's finish up Right Wing World. Hannity. Oh, isn't that a shame, Jim, to wipe that smirk off his face about health care being dead?
Just when you thought it was over, universal nightmare is back. Now the White House has unveiled a $1 trillion health care reform plan, and like its predecessors in the House and Senate, this plan is filled with tax hikes and expanded government control.
Somebody sounds a little scrambler.
Yeah.
Don't you? Isn't that the best part of it, Jim? Is the watching these Republicans
Scott Brown
gloat?
He's going to vote for it, probably. You hate him.
Oh, wouldn't that be the
so
greatest?
Much.
If Scott Brown votes for health care.
That'd be awesome.
All right, prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris on Hannity.
Remember what this is going to do. This is going to set up a board that will rule on who can get what medical care when.
Oh my God.
It effectively is euthanasia. It says to the elderly,
death
no,
panel.
You cannot get this bypass surgery. You're diabetic. You're 78 years old. You're in a wheelchair. I'm sorry, I can't approve this surgery
for
you.
That's what we have now.
But I'm going to die. Well, sorry about that.
That's what we have now.
Big,
yes, exactly.
Fat, wheezing, human talking point liar.
They're going to decide who lives and who dies. They might say someone like me, a human being, bad care, might die anyway because I'm going to fall over and die.
If there is a death panel, I think just Dick Morris would be the first to go, don't you? Jim, hey, yeah. Stop eating, fatty, before we prove anything. Find a salad bar.
Well, you can get fatter in a salad bar pretty easily.
That's
There's
true.
Lots of
yeah, all right,
fattening stuff there.
Yeah.
And it's all you can eat, so. No,
seriously,
sorry, that's all you can eat. No, that's it. That's all you can eat. Really.
Is this all they got? Are these discredited death panel lies?
Yes.
I say they're getting fairly desperate over there about the big meeting on Thursday.
They're going to hit the death panels. They're going to kill grandma. They're going to mandate that one out of every five people dies so they get out of the way so there's more food for the liberal.
You'd think after a while he'd move the sack of hammers.
Yeah.
He knows he's going to fall from a run-on sentence.
He can't bend over to pick up the hammer.
No, he can't.
It's like they've been there since 1973.
I've fallen and I can't get
which
up
is the last time. Which is the last time he's seen his two.
Yeah.
All right.
He better watch out that he doesn't wear yellow because it'll just make him look like the sun.
All right. By the way, Jim, as you pointed out very succinctly, yes, that's what we have now.
Right.
Insurance company. I mean, what was my listener letter from P90X I read yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
One of the people that's doing P90X that it's really helping is somebody insurance company denied coverage after he broke his neck.
Right.
In a bicycle accident.
So he's doing his own physical rehab now. Yeah.
Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
Well, the plan that the administration unveiled today is really a travesty masquerading as an outreach
to the
Republicans.
Oh,
it's a watered down piece of fluff.
It's a travesty masquerading as an outreach. It's a riddle.
Wrapped in an enigma.
Wrapped in a vest.
Wrapped in bacon.
Ooh. Oh, and that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, then. But all is not lost. All right. All right, that concludes.
Denny Hastert to be all for that.
Oh, yeah.
We should have wrapped every bill in bacon.
Oh.
He would have voted for every single
one.
He wouldn't even have read it. It would just have been all greased over. Right. Okay, whatever it is. It's good. I ate the bill. Good. All right. All right. Ooh, speaking of crunchy audio goodness, we have a new jingle for Charlie Pierce. He's just going to be beside himself.
Yes.
Boston Globe writer extraordinaire Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh.
Stephanie Miller. Every day with you is a punch in the nads.
Is that Hal?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Ooh, I made the Dow go down 84 points just now. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, today is a magical show, Chris, as you know. Not only will Joanne Worley be on later, but I think we all know it's a special day in a young man's life when they get their first jingle on the Stephanie Miller Show. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Feels my brother Charlie should have helped me a little bit.
I am so flattered I'm going to do my Joanne Worley imitation.
Oh, jeez. That was more like an air raid siren.
I'd like to clear something up. After I was listening to last week's show, and you posed the question of why dogs will put their heads out the windows.
Yes.
But they won't let you blow in their face?
But they get pissed when you blow in their face.
That's right.
Yes.
That's because the wind very rarely has wine on its breath.
There you go.
Oh, Charlie Pierce with the first drunk joke of the morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I'm just flattered at the jingle. That is very thank you very much. And I love the coaster, so that's good stuff.
There you go. Well, I don't know, Charlie, is it me? I'm a little, you know me, I'm a hopey changey, happy clappy liberal, but I'm very encouraged. It looks like healthcare's alive. It's alive.
Well, something like it is alive. Yeah, I mean,
something.
Once again, the public option gets sold down the river. But there is kind of an aroma of flop sweat coming from the Republicans at this point.
I know it.
Senator McDreamy up here voted for the jobs to let the jobs bill come to the floor yesterday.
Oh, isn't it awesome?
Which is largely a whole bunch of tax cuts masquerading as a jobs bill. But still, it gives him at least one commercial he can run for when he runs for re-election. And you know, I'm starting to hear Charlie Crist talk about what a great thing the stimulus is. I'm beginning to wonder if a few scales aren't falling from a few eyes right now.
Hey, yeah.
We've really allied ourselves with insane people. It's time to move away a little bit.
Well, I know. I mean, obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger's been saying it, but did you see this? Bloomberg News did a big they obtained 300 pages of letters from anti-stimulus lawmakers requesting highway stimulus funds. Many of the lawmakers in the Bloomberg article had been exposed previously for requesting funds while calling the stimulus a complete mistake. However, the personal letters revealed that the most staunch conservatives believed behind closed doors that the stimulus was vital, particularly to their state.
Well, see, they need really good roads to drive to the press conference where they can denounce the stimulus as not having done anything.
Exactly.
You need a nice road. Obviously, I mean, every economist up and down will tell you that, you know, Paul Krugman has been beating a drum for years saying the stimulus was too small.
Right.
But it was what they could get. And
right.
You're right.
This jobs bill, it's like the incredible shrinking jobs bill. It's nothing, but it's better than nothing, I guess. And the fact Yeah, go ahead.
But what I think is interesting, I mean, I don't understand why Voinovich and Bond, both of whom are retiring, have done it. They just didn't care. You know, the two senators from Maine are trying to pretend to be centrist again, and Scott Brown wants to get reelected. That having been said, you know, that there is a kind of feeling right now that at least on I don't think the CPAC videos did the Republican Party any favors. Let's put it
right.
that way.
I mean, I
think that, you know, you let the unrestrained id of the place run amok for about 6 months, and then you realize that sooner or later you have to get elected. You have to do something for the people in your district who aren't still living by the fact that they read Atlas Shrugged when they were 13 years old.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then you got people like Senator Tom Coburn. You saw this yesterday, right? Who said, "I love gridlock. I love it. I think we're better off when we're gridlock because we're not passing things."
Well, I think,
what the hell are you doing there? Then go home.
Thomas mistaking gridlock for the fact that the voices in his head are arguing with each other, I think.
By the way,
can we send a shout out to the state of Oklahoma for sending us the single most insane senatorial delegation in the history of the United States?
Hello.
Shout out.
Jim Imhoff and Tom Coburn? Good heavens.
Good heavens. What are you people thinking?
That is an adult portion of crazy right there.
So, Charlie, what do you think is going to happen with this meeting? Maybe I'm overly optimistic, but I just think that, you know, the president's plan, as centrist as it is, I agree with you, I do feel like really challenges the Republicans Thursday to go lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Well,
what do you think?
Do you think they really want to go into that room again? I mean, if they could, they'd put on false beards and sneak out of Washington for 6 days. I mean, they're going to go in there on TV and get beaten like a tin drum again. And they all know it because they don't have one person who can stand up there and make a coherent case for anything they want.
Right, right. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
I insist you go ahead.
Oh, we're those two polite chipmunks now.
No, I insist. After you. No, after you.
Well, I mean, I guess my point is, you know, good. You know, they're the ones screaming about, oh, this is all done by, in the dark, behind closed doors, in the dark of night. It's like, good, then let's see your ideas out in the light. President keeps challenging them, post your ideas online. Like,
they don't even want most of their candidates out in the light of day right now.
I mean, exactly.
They're running out of gin in the bar car of the crazy train right now.
Well, I mean, because that's the thing is you look at the cold, hard numbers and you go, you know, the main House Republican bill, it insures 3 million more people. It's like, seriously, is that all you got? That's it?
Yeah, and that's we have to have tort reform, and we have to allow people to buy insurance off state lines, so everyone will move to South Dakota and incorporate there, or Mississippi or someplace, and nobody will get regulated anywhere. They don't have a plan for this because they don't want to have a plan for this. They don't have any. They do not perceive a need. Look, Dick Cheney's got great health care. What do we care?
I know I'm in danger of being too happy clappy sometimes, Charlie, but let me ask you what a listener asked me earlier. If we're going to go reconciliation, if part of this is showing Republicans to be the obstructionists they are so that the American people understand why we're using just majority vote, why not do the public option as well?
I don't know. And I mean, that's the part of it I don't understand. You're in for a dime, you're in for a dollar here. If you can get all this other stuff passed, why not take a chance on this other thing? If it goes down, it goes down, but you've got people on the record one way or the other. Because I'm tired of people telling me how they think the public option is a great idea, but they can't bring themselves to vote for it because of X, Y, and Z. Okay, get up and explain what X, Y, and Z are. And don't bring me the deficit, because people who are going broke trying to pay for chemotherapy do not give a damn about the federal deficit. And I'm convinced not many people do. I mean, it stands in for a lot of other issues. But to say you're concerned about the federal deficit above everything else, including staying healthy and keeping your house, I don't believe that.
Yep, absolutely. Charlie, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Go ahead.
He's trying to strangle the microphone.
Luckily,
he had a little scuffle with the microphone. It is amazing. You know, they talk about the Democrats are in disarray, and there's one story after another. How about this story that John McCain has just revealed to be a complete liar on top of everything else?
John McCain, the bravest man in Washington, is being terrified by J.D. Hayworth, who I guarantee you is not as smart as whatever he had for breakfast this morning.
This man
was one of the single dumbest guys in the history of the U.S. Congress, and the bar is not high.
But the thing is, he lied about one of the stupidest, most erratic moves of the campaign of 2008, that he was going to suspend his campaign to solve the financial crisis. We found out it was a complete lie. He claimed that Bush asked him to suspend the campaign. Well, he suspended the campaign and then asked Bush for a meeting.
Now he's trying to hang it on poor George W. Bush. And doesn't that man have enough problems?
Yeah, I love this from Game Changers.
He's going out talking to fishing shows somewhere. Let him take his speaking fees and, you know, show people how to buy new reels.
I love this when George Bush thinks you're dumb. Bush was dumbfounded by McCain's behavior. He forced Bush to hold a meeting that the president saw as pointless, then sat there like a bump on a log. Unconstructive, thought Bush. Unclear. Ineffectual.
Well, how about Henry Paulson, who is not only talking about John McCain, but he's saying that everybody in the Republican Party was completely useless during that
yeah.
particular
that yeah, thing. Like Eric Cantor's idea was being openly mocked by the Bush administration for the financial rescue.
But George W. Bush was dumbfounded. How did anyone know?
Yes, I love that the stupidest, most incompetent president in our history thinks you're incompetent.
Like the story I read today where it's a National Law Journal where it says Clarence Thomas has said nothing in any oral argument in the Supreme Court for 4 years.
Yeah.
How do they know he's alive? I mean, has anyone nudged him? Hey, yo.
Exactly.
You know, somebody going to flash him or something? Hey, yo, look at this. Whoa. But, you know, what the heck? But somebody wake him up, because that's not good. I'm paying his salary, and he's not talking to anybody.
Somebody put a mirror in front of him, something. Charlie, what do you make of this Senator Joe Lieberman, who I still think is a douche? He has, however, broken the legislative logjam over Don't Ask, Don't Tell, vowing to introduce a repeal. But, you know, can I just say something? Talk about doing something when it's completely politically safe. It's of course, widely popular in Connecticut. At this point, to me, Joe Lieberman never does anything except something that's good for him.
No, that's exactly right. But in this case, it happens to be good for the country, too. I mean, right. Basically, I think Joe Lieberman wants gay people to fight his wars for him, too. So
well,
I mean, that's basically why he's doing that.
Yeah.
We're going to
need
them against Iran when I get the other war I want.
Yeah.
So now, apparently, they're reaching out to Republicans because the bill's prospects still remain iffy thanks to opposition from, among others, John McCain. Who, by the way, his relationship with John McCain, of course, could not be gayer, ironically.
That visual right there could set gay rights back 50 years. I'm just telling you this right now. But at this point, I don't think anybody in Washington knows what McCain's up to. I mean, this is bad now.
Yeah. Oh no. I mean, it's almost sad to watch. I mean, you thought he flip flopped during the 2008 campaign. I mean, this guy has just exposed himself. He's completely without principle of any kind.
It is so pathetic that he's doing it because he wants to beat J.D. Hayworth in a primary.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't think you can beat J.D. Hayworth in a primary straight up with your record in the legislature, then retire.
Well, you know, he has that in common with his friend Joe Lieberman. They both will do anything to hang on to power. That's obviously what they've been exposed as. That's what it's all about for them.
Yeah, but when Joe Lieberman's entire brand has been, you know, we'll sell principles for lunch. John McCain's entire brand has been, I am absolutely dedicated to my principles. Well, then fine. If you can't beat J.D. Hayworth in Arizona as the incumbent, with that pin, then get out of politics, because plainly the state has lost its mind.
Yeah, if you can't beat the dirtiest Jack Abramoff guy in the entire Republican Party, then good luck to you.
The dirtiest and dumbest Jack Abramoff guy.
Yeah, he doesn't have a whole lot of smarts up there, seriously.
Yeah. Well, he was a former sportscaster, so I'll give him that. But.
That is true. He was.
Right.
Well, you know, he and Sarah Palin could work a sports center together sometime.
That's
that would be great.
Right.
That
would be the dumbest sports center ever produced.
Idiot sports center. All right, Charlie Pierce.
What just happened?
Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe and of General Awesomeness. We will see you next Tuesday, honey.
Thank you, guys.
Bye. All right, there he goes. Charlie Pierce. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the healthcare debate and the big forum on Thursday as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hanging out with Hal Sparks and Blink 182.
Cool.
Well,
that's
actually All American Rejects, not Blink 182.
Oh,
sorry.
It is. Okay,
yeah.
It sounds like them.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51.
All American Rejects. That's us.
Minutes. That's the show. We could rename the show. That or the Island of Misfit Toys. All right. We have. And listen, Jim. You know I've waited my whole life to say this. Joanne Worley coming up on the Celebrity Hotline next hour.
Excuse me.
Oh, you okay?
There we go.
Thank you.
Oh,
Jim, that was better.
I had to clear my throat first. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. That was much better. Okay. So, Jim, did you look at the president's health care bill?
Heard enough about it.
Yeah.
and, you know, the public option's not included, so, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in there. I think it's a good. Well, you know, they said it's a. Who said that, Chris? Robert Gibbs said it's an opening bid. You know, for this thing on Thursday. I just think he's playing it very smart politically.
Mm-hmm.
For this summit on what you call it Thursday, Governor Jennifer Granholm of Michigan on the healthcare debate.
I think it would be incredibly arrogant of everyone to assume that we should do nothing. And I think there is a lot of common ground.
That's what I was saying, Jim, the other day. Yeah. You know, earlier, I mean, that can you imagine? I mean, these Republicans have been gloating outwardly about health care reform being dead. If you're sitting in California, you just got a health care bill, that's insurance bill that's 50% higher this month. Like, are you laughing? Are you going, oh, great, good, we killed health care? You know, I mean, it's
yeah, they're going to choke on their own sarcasm and cynicism, I think, when they realize what fools they look like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was reading a poll that, you know, a huge percentage of Americans think the government is broken, but it was interesting, a very small percentage think it can't be fixed. So, see, we're all hopey-changey in the end, and I think that, you know, I'm very hopeful about this summit on Thursday. Senator Mitch McChinless.
The fundamental point I want to make is the arrogance of all of this.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying ignore the wishes of the American people. We know more about this than you do, and we're going to jam it down your throats no matter what.
No. Actually, the American people are for something better than what Obama has proposed. They watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Public option, you know, at the very least.
That's the thing that no one ever asked them to explain. Why how many zillion polls showed a 70% approval rating for the public option, which is, in your mind, practically a communist plan, you know? Representative Eric Cantor of Virginia.
I believe we should go and lay out for the American people why it is that we have a better way and how we achieve that.
Good. Yes, bring it.
Let's see it. What do you got?
Okay. Representative Joe Barton, Republican of Texas.
We don't know if this is just a photo op for him to present his latest revised plan, or if it's really an interaction between us and the president and the other Democrats that he invites.
Yes, that's why he wants you to talk about your ideas. Mm-hmm. Let's go. What do you got?
Yep. What do you got? Bring it.
Teleprompter. This is a photo op. Communist. Nazi.
It seems to me the Republicans are getting a little overconfident already, aren't they, Senator Mitch McChinless?
The American people are very open to our proposals, and if the election were held tomorrow, would be very inclined to vote for us in large numbers.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because pretty much every poll shows the American people don't like the Republicans either right now. You know, former President Bill Clinton, by the way, said he doesn't expect Democratic prospects this year to be as bad as 94. First of all, A, I think we're going to pull off health care, and B, I think the economy is, as it is, or, you know, improving now, I think it will continue to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Clinton said if Democrats catch a break with the economy and party leaders kind of keep their heads on straight and keep focusing on the need to show up and get counted, I don't think it'll be as bad as 94. I think we'll do much better. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They have to do everything they can in order to win in November. So they're going to say no to everything, and they're going to say it is not good what Obama is doing.
So
that's natural.
They're the party of no.
They're the party of no.
Okay, then.
Yeah,
good.
Wow.
Yeah. They're the party of nine.
Nine.
They are. They're the party of nine. Kevin in D.C. on reconciliation. Hi, Kev.
Yes, good morning, lovey Stephanie.
Good morning, baby.
Just like to add the other reasons that I don't think they win. They're not going to get younger voters or Hispanics or African Americans. But beyond that, I say that whatever health care bill is passed, if the Republicans do obstruct, you use reconciliation. Now, this is probably example 5,400 of their hypocrisy, but back in 201 and 203, didn't they use reconciliation to pass these huge, you know, tax breaks for the rich that, by the way, added to the deficit. So if we use reconciliation to pass health care, where that most people say will lower the deficit, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah. Well, there you go. Thank you, Kev.
Because they're obstructionist asshats.
Because they're an obstructionist asshats, as I think will be clearly visible on Thursday. I love this story. GOP struggling with a problem the party hasn't seen much lately. High expectations. Senator John Cornyn struggling with a party his problem hasn't seen his party hasn't seen in a while. He's the head of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Many thought he could call the 2010 cycle a victory if Republicans lost just a seat or two. Now he finds himself frantically trying to tamp down talk the GOP will surge from a 41-seat minority to a 51-seat majority in November. He said the thing that changed everything was Scott Brown's win. Wonder, this was before yesterday's jobs bill, apparently. The sense that if we can do it there, we can do it anywhere. As we've said over and over, Jim, they were really overblowing that Scott Brown, Massachusetts thing, weren't they?
The American people voted Scott Brown, so they hate healthcare. It's obvious.
No. Not remotely.
No.
They like the naked guy with the pickup truck. That's what that means.
Exactly. Well, well, and they also didn't like
and
Martha
Coakley didn't show up.
Yeah.
She went on vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, and also there's the Diebold optical scanning machines. That's a whole new element. And without exit polls, you're never going to know whether they stole it or not.
Ron Paul said he's winning the conservative CPAC, whatever, was significant. He captured, as you recall, 31% of the vote, besting a three-year winner, Mitt Romney, who finished with 22%.
And Sarah Palin with 7.
Womp, womp.
boy. How's about this guy, Virginia State Delegate Bob Marshall? Did you see this? I wonder if Sarah Palin will have anything to say about this. Republican spoke at a conference against state funding for Planned Parenthood. He said the number of children who are born subsequent to a first abortion with handicaps has increased dramatically. Why? Because when you abort the firstborn of any, nature takes its vengeance on subsequent children.
Oh, what did Sarah Palin think about punishment. That? Also, too, you betcha.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack, Joanne Worley, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. The Dow is down 70 points. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lloyd, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. You know, kids, speaking of my computer, I use Carbonite to back up my computer. You know I do. It gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today. Do it. With Carbonite, you'll be glad you did. Remember, use that offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Thank you. And coming up in just a little bit, Joanne Worley. Oh.
Judy Carr wasn't available?
It turns out there's another reason I love her, besides for the fact I just loved her. And I was basically raised by her and Paul Lind.
Sammy.
I wouldn't have made it through the 70s without them. She's a president of Actors and Others for Animals. She's a big animal rescue person, Jim. So another reason to love her. All right. In the meantime, you know, it's not like I'm stuck in the 70s. You know, I'm hep to what the kids are watching today.
Yeah.
What with the reality shows and the MTV
actually,
and all?
Actually, Laugh-In started in the 60s. You ought to admit remembering the 60s.
Yeah, don't admit to remember watching Laugh-In on NBC at night.
I use a paper calendar.
Okay.
Because I like to see what's in front of me. Okay. But I do watch The Buried Life on MTV. Duncan Penn is on the line with us now from that very show. Good morning, Duncan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. I love the idea of this show. So let's explain it. It follows you and three other regular guys around the country as you look to accomplish 100 things you want to do before you die, right? Like The Bucket List, that movie?
Yeah, it's similar to that, except, you know, we always say the bucket list is for people that are about to die, and, you know, The Buried Life is for people kind of that are living. We started this 4 years ago. Three friends and I were going out in the same town, and I think we're going through something that a lot of kids go through, this kind of feeling of uncertainty about the future. And, you know, we started talking a lot about life, and out of that, we came up with this question, what do you want to do before you die? And from that, we came up with this list, and, you know, we just basically decided, you know, why aren't we going after these things? Why not? And so, you know, we hit the road with a camera and wanted to make a documentary about it.
Now, and your list included everything from playing basketball with Obama to attending a party at the Playboy Mansion to paying off your parents' mortgages. Good luck with that one with the banks these days. But I love it. You know, they say you guys got no help from MTV or Viacom, because that Sumner Redstone, by the way, could pay off your parents' mortgage if you wanted to. But you got no help from them, from MTV, right, in setting up any of these meetings or achieving any of this.
No, not at all. I mean, we started this 4 years ago, long before the television show. And you know, it was really us going out, going after these things and wanting to prove to ourselves that these things are possible. And so, you know, we, MTV doesn't give us any help in any of these things. In fact, we were offered a show in 2007, and we ended up turning it down because we felt, you know, we were going to lose a lot of control. And, you know, this time when we partnered with MTV, Ed, make a television show was just one of the things on the list, actually.
Yep.
It was just number 53. And when we partnered with MTV this time, they kind of gave us, you know, full control to do what we've been doing for the last 4 years.
Right. Well, you know, they my life actually is a reality show about it's like watching one dream after another die. But yours, some actually come true. But now in last night's episode, you had gone to D.C. to meet the president and hopefully play basketball. So, but you didn't end up that one didn't end up happening. Right?
That one didn't end up happening. It was number 95, play ball with the president, and you know we went into Washington to do whatever we could to, you know, play ball with the president, and you know we got really far. Did you watch the episode?
I did not get to see it. I'm sorry it's on too late for me, but I I was going to say, listen, don't feel bad. You're not the only one not getting anything done in Washington. They're not getting anything done there. So what? But you, I heard you got to meet with, you know, some bigwigs, right? Like Tim Geithner and Ray LaHood and the president's assistant, Reggie Love.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, basically we just, you know, MTV doesn't help us with anything, so we got to get very creative in how we do this. And so, you know, we did our research and found out that Congressman Quigley plays hockey at this local rink. And so we ended up going in there. And while he was practicing, meeting up with him and I, and chasing him to daring him to a race, challenging him to a race, and if we won, then he'd make some calls for us, and we did that, and we ended up losing to him, but he made the calls anyways, and so, you know, it's this kind of leapfrog thing around Washington that one, you know, congressman was like, well, you know, I'll make a call up the ladder. So he called Ray LaHood,
right.
Baron Hill. You know, we met with Baron Hill, and then, you know, from there we went to Ray LaHood. And, yeah.
Now, I heard. Is it the Republican, Frank Lautenberg?
well, there was a senator.
A so, senator,
yes. Let's just say.
Yes, let's just say that was kind of mean to you. What happened there?
No, he was very nice about it, but I won't tell you who it is. Because...
Oops. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. He was really nice. He wasn't bad about it. He just didn't want to be put in a porno.
In a porno?
Yeah, he's like, if this ends up in some porno, I'm going to be very mad.
Cranky old senators that think anything anybody's filming is a porno these days. I love that. It is called The Buried Life on MTV. Duncan Penn, thanks so much for taking time for us, Duncan. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good luck with the rest of the list.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. That's my dream, too, to play a little hoop with the president. Duncan doesn't have my hook shot. Come on.
Or apparently that mysterious Senator Lautenberg's hook shot.
Oh, you weren't supposed to say who.
No, you know what? That was reported in the Washington Post this morning, who that senator
Get
was.
Get off my lawn, you damn MTV
hey.
Kids making pornos.
You kids with your pornos.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Speaking of the Washington game, give me Cut 13. Eric Holder, Attorney General, the other day, talking once again about the war on terror.
You have to judge every case individually. And I think that is one thing that we must keep in mind. We have to trust, I think, the people who are on the scene and who have to make split-second decisions as to how they're going to interact with a suspect, what's the most effective way in which they can interrogate that person, what's the most effective means by which they can gather intelligence and information from that person.
So, by the by, Jim, is this once again proving our point? So this New York terror suspect admits guilt and cooperates? Wah?
Huh?
Without torture? Huh?
Zoinks.
The Afghan immigrant who played a central role in what the federal authorities have said was one of the most serious threats to the U.S. since 9/11 pled guilty on Monday to terrorism charges after admitting a plot to blow up the New York subway. He admitted he came to New York last year near the anniversary of 9/11 to kill himself and others on the subway using a homemade bomb. In recent weeks, he had begun providing information to prosecutors as part of the initial stages of an agreement that led to his guilty plea on Monday. Guilty.
No, don't let him talk. We have to torture him first. Oh, he spoke already. Crap.
Oh, stop talking about us torturing you. Why are you talking? Yeah, apparently they're getting quite a bit of valuable information from him. Huh.
Oddly, because they're not torturing
him. Sans torture.
Uh-huh. That's how it works, as they know in the FBI.
All right. So you know what? I said to Duncan that nothing is getting done in Washington. I misspoke. That teeny tiny jobs bill is going to take a teeny tiny step forward.
But it's only a little tiny jobs.
It's better than a step backwards.
That's true.
Let's just say that.
So Minnie Kiss will be fully employed, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Maybe they'll be at the signing ceremony. A bipartisan, wow, hello. Although bipartisan, now it's five Republicans. That's what's known as bipartisan these days. Cleared a Republican filibuster on Monday with critical momentum provided by the Senate's newest Republican, the naked guy with a truck. Let's hear it for Scott Brown of Massachusetts. The bill featured four provisions that enjoyed sweeping bipartisan support, including a measure exempting businesses hiring the unemployed from Social Security payroll taxes through December and giving them another $1,000 credit if new workers stay on the job for a full year. Joining Brown were Senator Olympia Snowe, Susan Collins of Maine, two retiring Republicans, Kit Bond and George Voinovich, and Democrat of Ben Nelson of Nebraska voted no.
Of course.
Take care now.
Because he didn't get what he wanted.
That's the point of him. Voinovich said, if we don't do this, we're going to miss the construction season, and this is an area where you absolutely create jobs. And that is true. I got to tell you, I have spoken to unions, and boy, they are hurting in the construction business. Yeah, well, so any help they can get, I'm happy for.
In Chicago, it's summer and construction season, or rather, winter and construction season.
Roads
tend to really get messed up just by the severe winters.
Exactly. Although Hal Sparks walked in Central Park with me yesterday here in New York in like a T-shirt. And he's like, I'm from Chicago. It's shorts weather.
Oh, yeah. When I lived in Lincoln Park, it was 40 degrees outside. You put on your shorts and got some sun.
Yeah, it really disturbed me that I felt I could wear shorts when it got up to 55 when I lived in Chicago.
There's something weird about that.
Yeah.
I've got my L.A. blood. I'm still wearing like hats and gloves and a parka.
And your Uggs. All right. Even if it's 80 degrees outside.
The president on jobs.
We're working to create jobs by all means necessary, be it by cutting taxes for small businesses that create them, to investing more in infrastructure and in energy efficiency.
He quoted Malcolm X. He's a radical. He's a leftist. He hates white people.
Senator Harry Reid on the
Why wouldn't we do this bill? We can create jobs starting in just a few days. If someone could explain to me what is wrong with this bill, I'd be happy to listen to them. What is wrong with this legislation?
Wow.
Well, it's teeny tiny, but it's something.
But he's fighting for it.
He did call their bluff, you know. Mm-hmm. This latest bipartisan, quote-unquote, monstrosity that Grassley and Baucus tried to put through, you know, at least he called their bluff. And, you know, and then the Republicans, all the stuff they voted for, Jim, they're all screaming when he scaled it back. They said none of them were for it.
No, I hate it. It's awful. It's coming. What? You're scaling it back.
An earlier version of the bill written with Republican input. Key Republicans withdrew their support after he scaled it back. Once again, let's hear it for Scott Brown, the naked guy in the truck. He said the bill was not perfect, but would help put people back to work. I hope my vote today is a strong step toward restoring a bipartisanship in Washington. Senator Mitch McChinless.
My constituents are concerned first and foremost about jobs and the economy. And another thing they're concerned about is lawmakers in Washington making things worse.
Yes. So why don't you see if you can be an even more obstructionist asshat?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him on TV on Thursday. Did you see him this weekend, Jimmy? Just sort of blinks like a turtle when he's caught in hypocritical backflops.
I had no idea. They recorded what I said before. Is that constitutional?
That and his lack of a lip make him not that telegenically appealing, in my opinion.
Well, I had a lip at one point, but communists took it away from me. Liberal, fascist, Nazi communists.
Well, we understand then. 19 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I get it in honor of the president meeting with Shakira yesterday.
That's right. She's very...
I asked if we have a bump, as they say in the radio business, and Jim, for some reason, said he has a bump for Shakira. I don't know what that meant.
I'd like to bump Shakira. Mm-hmm. She's very bendy.
It's very kind of
she is very bendy.
Yeah.
I bet you she does P90X. Okay. I bet you Michelle will cruise by that meeting a couple of times just to make sure everything was okay.
Yeah. What's going on? What are you doing?
They were talking about U.S. policy toward children
sure
at the White
were.
House. Sure they were.
Oh, boy.
Show me how you do that hip thing again.
Because her hips don't lie, you see.
No. They met briefly after she had meetings with the staff from the National Security Council and the Domestic Policy Council to talk about early childhood development. Right.
She had a meeting with his staff? What?
What? Shakira stopped by to say hello to Obama when the meetings ended. She is a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador, you know, Jim. Mm-hmm. A little respect, please. You know, you haven't talked about other Goodwill Ambassadors' bendiness.
No.
Although Angelina
any.
Jolie is bendy, and she was also one of those,
that's
wasn't
true.
She?
I dare say Ginger Spice is bendy, too, and she was one of those.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
I'm getting bendier now that I'm stretching with P90X. Okay.
Although Audrey Hepburn, not so bendy.
Not so bendy?
No, and she
she's
was...
skinny. She's probably bendy just
well,
by default.
She was skinny. She's a lot skinnier now because she's, well...
Muerta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Angelina Jolie... See, I was doing a segue there that you completely ruined.
Sorry.
The Brad Pitt brokered Angelina Jolie John Voight Accords lead
oh,
today's
boy.
Celebrity
huh?
family and court blotter. Oh, that's some breaking news. The famously estranged daughter and dad staged at least part of their Venice peace talks on Sunday as they boarded a boat.
Venice any, peace any, talks.
Anyone drowns mysteriously after that meeting. But, yeah, he has some interesting right-wing thoughts. I wonder if he'll share. That'll be like my meeting with my Republican family this weekend. Everything goes great, and then politics comes up. And
yeah. Remember the Republican National Convention? He would talk to the right-wing blowhard in the booth next to us, but he didn't talk to us. John Voight?
Oh, that's right, John Voight. For some reason, he didn't want to talk to me. I don't remember why.
Because you would mock him.
All right. Susan Boyle's brother says she's looking for love. You remember she said she had never been kissed. Her brother said, Susan has the world at her feet in terms of fame and money, but at this precise moment, it means nothing, absolutely nothing. The one thing she wants above all, everything else, is love. Who doesn't?
It's kind of like the Janis Joplin thing.
Computer says yes.
I understand what he means. That's why I have my fake husband, Hal Sparks, is home sleeping.
You could advise her on eyebrow maintenance.
That's true.
At least I mastered that from my childhood as a unibrowed wolf child.
Did you hear that she gave away her cat Pebbles, too?
Oh.
I just was going to say that. Yeah. It was recently revealed that Pebbles, her beloved cat, has moved out. I hope Max and Fred can't dial, because they may try to arrange an escape as well. But
like the great escape.
Oh, no, they're going to be happy today because Hal Sparks bought them bones the size of their heads. I don't know where he got these giant bones.
What are they, skulls of cows or something?
They're skulls of something, yes.
Bones are us.
But he was right, Jim. Walking my dogs is kind of more like the Iditarod than a walk. It's a little bit it's a little bit challenging. All right, the latest. Wow. I don't know if it's hypocrites or flip-floppy or what. Governor Tim Pawlenty. You know how it is when you're running for president? It's amazing the things you'll say. He completed the reversal of his stance on global warming on Meet the Press when he was asked if climate change is real. The former champion of strong climate change action questioned how much of it is man-made, charging scientists with data manipulation and controversy. He then said a cap-and-trade system of market-based limits on global warming pollution would be a disaster. In 2007, Pawlenty supported a cap-and-trade system, much like John McCain did, to reduce Minnesota's global warming pollution by 80% by 2050. He said maybe we can lead them of Congress or even shame them into action. It'll become a de facto national policy.
Wow.
Until I become some right-wing tool that wants to be president, and then it would be a disaster.
They still don't get it that there are recording devices, that people know what they said.
I know. It really
verbatim.
Is. Yeah, it's amazing.
Shh, don't tell anyone. It's not going to be in Fox News, so it didn't happen.
Speaking of politics, did you hear our buddy, our pal, Representative Joe Sestak?
Yes.
This is good political gossip. He said the White House offered him a job to keep him from running running against Arlen Specter. The White House has denied this, and Sestak has insisted he told the truth. He's not giving any further details.
Oh, apparently, they offered him
Navy Secretary.
Navy Secretary.
I think so.
Huh.
Yeah. Which he'd be great at, but I think he'd be a much better senator.
Yes, I like the sound of future Senator Joe Sestak myself. All right. Did you see the Tea Party is criticizing Keith Olbermann for suggesting that the organization lacks diversity? Why? Where could he have gotten such an idea?
I saw one black woman in one of the shots.
Oh, well, then he must be wrong.
See, so obviously.
Yeah. They challenged him to attend an anti-tax rally on Saturday. I'm going to guess he's going to have a thing with a guy somewhere,
but
we will keep you apprised of that. All right, been waiting my whole life to say it. Joanne Worley.
Very interesting.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's not a hero, Steve. A hero is someone you worship and emulate.
Well, we all know I have a hero, and I have a happy place, and you know what that is. It's Hal Sparks, who's home sleeping in my apartment here in New York.
Right.
And, of course, Joanne Worley. I've waited my whole life to say it. Joanne Worley is on the Celebrity Hotline. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Stephanie. You are too funny. Oh, doesn't that get annoying after a while?
No.
No, we play it every day. Listen to me. Can I have my love music, please? I love you. You don't understand. I was raised by Republican parents, and if it weren't for you and Paul Lynde, I wouldn't have made it through the 70s.
I understand totally. Paul Lynde is responsible for me, too.
You just made me happy when I watched Laugh In. No offense to Ruth Buzzy, you just made me happy.
Well, you're very kind, and I'm going to do something right now that's going to make you even happier. Are you ready?
Go ahead, because this is... didn't think I could love you more, but go ahead.
Oh, I don't know if it's going to work.
Okay.
You hear it?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What do you think it is?
It's either a pig or belching.
It's belching.
Yes.
Oh.
It's my burp master pen.
What is not great about you?
And even a mouth fart.
I knew you were a fart joke, girl, after my own heart.
Actually, I bought this for my grandson, who thinks this is the most wonderful thing in the world.
You know, Joanne, I didn't think I could love you more, and then I found out you're president of Actors and Others for Animals. I've done the fashion show for them a couple of years. I've done events with them. Tell us about your organization. I didn't realize you were a big animal rescue person like I am.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And even as I look at my rescue dog, Harmony, we're talking about you.
Do you do the singing thing for Harmony?
Of course. Oh, anything she wants. She rules the house. I've always been, I was raised on a farm, so I've always been, you know, aware of animals. But my awareness as I became a grown-up and had pets, that the need for spay and neuter, because there are so many pets that don't have homes and are killed. And we hate that, don't we, Stephanie?
We do, Joanne. It is, you are here to promote National Spay and Neuter Day. Now, you know, I once had Betty White spayed. Because you know she's frisky, and she thanked me.
And it's a good thing you did. Can you imagine what the offspring she would have had?
Oh, she is a trollop. Now, But Joanne, you are so specifically Actors and Others for Animals are you're going to spay and neuter 400 cats in L.A. County free of charge, right?
And
as part
we're
of
going to spay, we're going to neuter Betty White again.
Oh, good, good, because you know I didn't think it took the first time. She's entirely too.
You're right. Yes. Now, if people will go to www.actorsandothers.com and register, they can get a voucher. Will be mailed to them, and there's a limit of 3 per household. And we plan to spay and neuter over 400 pets in the Los Angeles County on special spay day.
And you, this is limited to cats to draw attention to the fact that nearly twice as many cats as dogs are euthanized in local shelters, right?
Yes, I don't know if people realize that or not. There's that many more cats than dogs, so it really is necessary to have the cats taken care of.
Because I kid, I'm a dog person, and so I kid Jim and Chris for being cat people sometimes. But I love all animals. And
oh,
I...
absolutely, absolutely. They are such healing creatures, aren't they? Just to be with them and to play. My little girl gets up in the morning. She says, "Okay, we're gonna play." No, don't brush your teeth. We're going to play first. They know what's important, and they remind us what's important.
So, no, wait, you have Harmony, who's what kind of dog?
She, of course, is a rescue. She happens to be a miniature Yorkshire Terrier.
Okay.
And there's an organization that goes to the shelters and saves the small dogs and finds them foster homes. And I do a lot of traveling, and I used to have bigger dogs, and when my last big dog went to doggy heaven, I called them and said, I need a dog I can get on an airplane with.
Right.
Right.
And that's Harmony. We go everywhere together.
Aww.
When
I
do the show, she's in the dressing room. She's constantly with me.
But you raise a good point, and I talk about this all the time. I have two Great Pyrenees, but I rescued them both from a Gentle Giants rescue out there in California. And that's the thing that people don't realize. You absolutely can rescue a purebred if you want. So many dogs and cats need rescue. And if you want a Yorkie, if you want a certain kind of dog, you don't need to buy a dog, right?
And certainly, we hate the puppy mills.
Right.
And the inbreeding that goes on, and that's when people get sick pets. And
right.
Then they go, oh, I can't afford to keep a pet. Well, of course not, because you didn't get a real one.
Right.
Save one.
Right.
That is indeed our message. And when you save it, have it spayed and neutered.
Yeah, oh, no, listen, I've worked out at Gentle Giants Rescue with my friends, Bert and Tracy Ward, out there, and they spend an amazing amount of money, I mean, getting dogs well that are sick that come from these puppy mills or that, you know, are neglected or abused or whatever. So you guys are doing the Lord's work, I tell you.
Well, you know, it costs the taxpayers about $176 for an animal when it goes into the shelter to be eventually killed.
Right.
Now, that's not smart, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
With the economy the way it is, and all the talk about taxes and all that, exactly. That your money is going, particularly when so many people are dog lovers and cat lovers in this country.
Exactly. So again, register www.actorsandothers.com, and we'll help you spay and neuter your cats.
Now I have, and we
on this day we're trying to commemorate that.
And we are, and by the way, there is a link up at stephaniemiller.com too. If you want to go to, we have a link up to your organization as well.
Oh, thank
now,
you. Thank
now,
you,
are
Stephanie.
You guys still doing the Actors and Others for Animals fashion show? Because I stopped being invited many years ago. Is it because I've gone to seed or?
I don't know. Maybe you burp too much.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not a friggin' lady. Maybe that's what it is. All right.
Well, I really don't know why that is. Actually, we don't do the fashion shows anymore. Maybe that's why.
Okay. All right, then.
What we're doing now is we are honoring somebody with a toast. We don't do a mean-spirited roast. We do a toast. And, for instance, Dick Van Dyke, Carol Channing. And last year, we toasted Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In.
Wow.
And it was fabulous.
I would give anything to be invited to a Joanne Worley roast.
Well,
I would.
No problem. I'm sure that I will get your address. I can go to your website.
Yeah,
all right. From
now on, you're invited.
It's weird because we're like sort of 6 degrees of laugh-in separation. First of all, you, my hero. Lily Tomlin just mentioned our show as her favorite radio show in Time magazine. George Slaughter, who invented laugh-in, a big fan of the show. Laugh-in is like my... It's the best thing in my life.
I'm going to walk into my garage so you can see. Can you see through the phone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Look at what's in my garage. Two bigger than life stand-ups of Dick and Dan.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
In their tuxedos, smiling and laughing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Joanne, I want you to know.
I'll see you later.
All right, thank you, Joanne.
No, she's talking to the stand-ups.
She's talking to them. Okay. I thought you had to go suddenly. No, Joanne, here's my dream. I have a new dream. I have actually, I have rocked in the Edith Ann rocking chair at Lily Tomlin's house in L.A. It's out by her pool.
Of course.
And if I could get invited into your garage to stand with the Dick and Dan cutouts, my life would be complete.
Well, I think what we're going to do is at our events always have Dick and Dan there.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Our next fundraiser, which, by the way, is going to be next year. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary, and it's going to be a big hoopla, and you're definitely going to be there.
Oh, for sure I'm going to be there. Joanne Worley, it has been a thrill beyond belief to have you on, and please ask me anytime. I'll do something with Actors and Others for Animals.
That is so fabulous. Thank you.
I'd be considered one of the others, meaning someone not really a successful actor, but somebody other, something.
You know how we got our name?
How's that?
Well, actors, Richard Basehart, the actor and his wife, were driving to the studio, and somebody threw a dog out of the window of the car in front of them. They, of course, stopped it, took it to the studio, and started to collect money from the actors to take care of it, take it to the vet and everything. And the other people on the set, like the director, the lighting man, the cameraman, the wardrobe lady, all said, "We want to, you know, help too." So that's how the word "utter" got in there.
Wow. I figured it was to refer to less successful people like, you know, just other people
that is the subtext, of course. Yes. The actors get top billing.
Wait, okay, I have to ask you one thing before you go. The, you know, this clip that we always play, the thing you used to do on last week. What?
Yeah,
who thought of that and how?
Well, it just came out kind of like it was necessary. I don't know. I've just always done that. It's when I don't know what to do, that's what I do. If I'm doing a stage play and I go up, that's what I do.
So if you go up on your
secret.
Lines, really?
Yeah.
So people get that as a bonus.
Yeah, I know. It makes them think about something while I'm thinking about, let me see, what's the next line?
Because it was one of those things. It was like primal scream therapy. You couldn't explain it on laughing. It was just funny. I don't know why. It's funny, but...
And it feels good to do it. Do you do it?
I just can't hit those Joanne Worley registers. I don't know. Can you still do it?
Yes, do it.
Okay, let one rip, please.
Oh, well, can you? I was going to ask you to do it.
No, I can't
do it.
You do it.
Any register. Oh, well, I just got up, for heaven's sake.
Okay.
I'm hosting a show called Pizzazz, which we're going to be doing at the El Capitan Theater the 26th and 27th.
Cool.
And anyway, let me see if I can do one.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to make the kiddies crazy. All right. Thank you, Joanne Worley. We love you. We love you. See you later. There she goes.
Bye. You know, we have another connection.
Joanne Worley loves me. My own mother, very disappointed in me, but Joanne Worley loves me, Jim.
Henry Gibson used to be with my my voiceover agent while he was still with us.
Wow.
So there was another laugh-in connection.
Well, I know. There's 6 degrees of laugh-in separation on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's weird. All right. Oh, by the way, speaking of dog stuff, Guinness, Max lost out, Jim, on the largest dog in the world. Although Hal Sparks will be here tomorrow. He may beg to differ. Giant George has been named the tallest dog ever. He is a 250-pound Great Dane from Tucson. He stands 3 feet 7 inches tall.
Well, how tall?
3 feet 7 inches tall.
Oh, my God.
Like 2 feet taller than Hal Sparks. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. He's not. He's cute as a button. 45 minutes.
And he's asleep in your bed right now.
I didn't confirm it was my bed. He's asleep in my apartment.
Okay.
Probably with Fred. All right. My Great Pyrenees, who's very naturally attracted to Hal Sparks. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Believe me, this is so deeply warped, even I get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yep. don't I have to be happy about? Hal Sparks home sleeping in my apartment. In our marital bliss to the last on Wednesday when he goes back to L.A. Joanne Worley was just on the phone. She said she loves me. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
She was so awesome.
She remains awesome. She's always been awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knew that she's a ball of energy? That I never would have guessed that. Wow.
Yeah, I thought she'd be
so
downbeat.
She's so reticent most of the time.
I know her. I know her because my dad made us watch The Gong Show every single night, and she was on The Gong Show all the time.
Yeah, I thought my life was complete because, you know, Lily Tomlin, one of my heroes in life, and, yes. You know, I did get to rock in the Edith Ann rocking chair at her house once.
That is
so I thought,
so cool.
You know, my life was over then. And now I've been invited to come hang out with the cardboard cutouts of Dick and Dan from the Laugh-In show in Joanne Worley's garage. There is no bigger dream. I dreamed a dream, much like Susan Boyle, and now I'm done. I have nothing left to live for.
If I had theorized that Joanne Worley had cutouts of Dick and Dan in her garage, people thought it was crazy. But in fact, she does. She actually has cutouts of Rowan and Martin in her garage.
I thought I was the only one. Until I got this show, Jim, I did in the Jerry Lewis movie, I did the fake radio show in the basement with the cardboard cutouts.
Oh, like King of Comedy?
King of Comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the queen of comedy till I just would interview, you know, cardboard cutouts.
Sometimes you think about things that happened to me in my life.
Thank you, Rupert Pupkin.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Jerry Lewis in a rare dramatic role.
That's right.
And he was very good.
Oh, you just never know what's going to happen in life. Like, for instance, I just got an email from Yahoo saying, see what's new inside your inbox. Sounds dirty. I'm perfectly aware of what's in my inbox. And listen.
Yahoo seems to be changing their mail system more often than Facebook changes theirs. What's going on over there?
I don't know. All I know is I have a lot of stuff in my inbox that I need protected. Everything on my computer. You know what? I couldn't risk losing it. I don't know about you. Where do I even start? I get stuff all the time when I talk about my dad. Campaign photos. There's a guy that just sent me stuff I have never seen from the 1964 campaign. Pictures of my dad, my family. If I lost that, that'd be good. That'd be it. You know, it's just a random guy that sent it to me. That's why I use Carbonite Online Backup. What are some things you have on your computer you couldn't imagine losing? What if something happened to your computer, you lost all those files? You would be devastated. But if your computer files are backed up with Carbonite, you'll get them back easily. Do what I did. Sign up for Carbonite Online Backup today before anything happens. It automatically backs up your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the internet. It is easy. Just $55 for the entire year. That's less than $5 a month. Hello? Go to Carbonite.com right now. Use my special offer code Stephanie. You get a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Go to Carbonite.com right now. Enter the offer code Stephanie for your free trial and 2 months free if you subscribe. That's Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie.
And that way you won't lose your pictures of Rowan and Martin there on your computer.
Can you imagine if I go to Joanne Worley's garage, I get my picture taken with the cardboard cutouts.
And with Joanne Worley.
And then I lose it because I don't have Carbonite. Hello. Don't think so.
It's that important.
Exactly. All right. I've been watching Olympics. Curling? What's up with that? Anyway.
Oh, have you seen the Norwegian curling team's pants?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that's the weirdest thing you've ever said on this show.
No. They have their own Facebook group now. Just the pants. They're the loudest things you've ever seen.
I was too transfixed with the politically incorrect Russian ice dancers' aboriginal costumes.
Yeah.
Did you see that? They're like, what? What? We took the face paint off?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Norwegian curling pants, the next fashion trend.
I'm going to get you guys some of those for Christmas.
Oh.
Both of you.
Either that or I'm transfixed by Shaun White's hair. Have you seen how much hair that guy had, the flying tomato?
Yeah, he has a lot of hair.
That's a lot of hair.
Tomate volante. The flying tomato.
Muy, muy rojo.
So the U.S. beat Canada in ice hockey. What's that all about? But I have a question, Jim. You're a soccer guy. I don't know if you're a hockey guy, but aren't all the people on the U.S. team from Canada originally?
Yeah. I don't
know.
They're
NHL guys, right?
Well, yeah, but not everybody in the NHL is from Canada.
Mostly, come on.
We do have some hockey players that come from America, you know.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Let the Olympics rate each country's elite athletes. The Daily Beast wanted to know which country had the laziest general populace, and in that, as you can imagine, we're number one.
Yes, USA!
USA! They pitted 24 developed nations against each other in four statistical categories. Calories consumed per day, television viewing, internet usage, aversion to sports. The winners, United States of America!
Yes!
Not even close. America ranked first in calories per day and TV viewing and earned the bronze in the other two categories, a staggeringly dominant non-performance.
We've got a
Thank you very much.
Golden
Thank you.
Obesity. Yes!
Thank you. We are a bunch of fat, and we are proud! Woohoo! All right. We have to, you know, in the interest of bipartisanship,
mm-hmm.
led by the new the naked guy with the truck, who voted Senator Scott Brown, hello, who voted for the jobs to let the teeny tiny jobs bill take a teeny tiny step forward. We would like to send our best wishes to former Senator Bob Dole, who is recovering at Walter Reed after a bout with pneumonia and surgery on his knee.
Yep.
But Bob Dole's going to be fine.
Bob Dole's fine. Bob Dole's got the Viagra. Cures everything.
He intends to return to work as soon as he can walk.
Increases blood flow to the lungs. Get more oxygen to your lungs, as well as other places.
Uh-huh.
You know what Bob Dole's saying.
In other news, Dick Cheney, he is in a Washington hospital after experiencing chest pains, and he can walk.
He can walk!
He is, we wish him well, don't we?
Huh.
He's sure. Fine. He's recovering.
I want him to be healthy when he goes to The Hague.
Oh, Jim. You scallywag.
You scamp.
He is scampy. Oh, all right. By the way, speaking of, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Remember the whole, if the general's on the ground, we should do what the general's on the ground. Say the general's on
general's
the ground.
General's on the ground. General's on the ground. You're listening to the general's on the ground. On the ground.
Not the general on the ground. Specifically the general on the ground in Iraq, General Ray Odierno. The top commanding general in Iraq says he thinks everyone gay and straight should be allowed to serve in the military as long as we are still able to fight our wars.
Don't
which obviously we are, because we've been fighting.
Don't listen to the generals on the ground. That's crazy. Those guys are nuts.
He is among the first to come from a senior military leader currently leading troops in battle since the Pentagon announced. We'll begin reviewing.
Damn liberals in the army.
So Joe hippies. Lieberman, still a douche, is sponsoring...
Joe Lieberman, douche.
The repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I guess we can give him a little douche. I will be proud
still
to
don't trust him as far as I could throw him.
Oh, it's just, of course, it's widely popular in Connecticut. It's just he doesn't do anything that's not good for him politically, but I guess good for him. A teeny tiny applause.
A begrudging.
A begrudging
Kenneth's
applaud.
Applause for him.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour. My current husband, Hal Sparks, in tomorrow for Hump Days with Hal.
Carlos Al's Rocky, too.
Oh, what a day. Right. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. We are in Fridays with Fuglesang with John Fuglesang, Congressman Elliot Engel coming up on the Newsmaker Hotline. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. You know it. I love it. You should use it, too. I use Carbonite to back up my computers. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. I can't recommend them highly enough. Please use the offer code Stephanie, won't you? At checkout. All right, lots to get to today. Of course, in the big healthcare summit hubbub, we missed talking about the Toyota testimony, but very, very important, the president of Toyota.
We pursued growth over the speed at which we are able to develop our people and our organization, and we should sincerely be mindful of that. I regret that this has resulted in the safety issue described in the recalls we face today, and I am deeply sorry for any accident that Toyota drivers have experienced.
It is Mickey Rooney.
No.
Now, now. So there were 2 days, of course, of tense, high-profile hearings this week, focused the world on Toyota and on Capitol Hill. No consensus, though, on how to improve car safety regulations. No agreement on how to overhaul federal oversight. And it's not clear if any new legislation will follow the hearings. Somebody that would know, though, Representative Judy Chu of our great state of California on the Newsmaker Hotline with us. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for taking time for us, because this was a big week, and you know, a lot of people are concerned about what happens now. What was your take on the hearings, first of all?
Well, it was quite a hearing. I've never seen so much frenzy there, but it was a long hearing. It was a thorough hearing, and Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood was there taking hours of questions, but Mr. Toyota himself was there for quite a few hours getting grilled by the Congress members. I do feel that we did make some progress, though.
Well, what happens now is, you know, I was just reading the news story out of there, Congresswoman, and they're saying that, you know, do you think there are going to be new regulations? Is there going to be new legislation? Is, you know, what will be the, you know, the concrete outcome, do you think, of yesterday's hearings?
Well, there were a few things that became clear. One is that there really are not enough resources for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA is what it's called. So the budget request for next year will have to include more employees to make sure that there is a timely investigation to issues like this. Toyota has made specific promises about how it will address safety in the future, and they are going to be moving towards more local control over safety decisions and a proposed accident SWAT team, which will look at these accidents in a more timely manner.
Congresswoman, let's listen to one more of the president of Toyota yesterday at the hearing. Excuse me, day before.
My name is on every car. You have my personal commitment that Toyota will work vigorously and unceasingly to restore the trust of our customers.
Were you satisfied with that?
I was tremendously skeptical at the beginning. I felt that Toyota really misled the public. There was an investigation in 2004 about a sudden acceleration, which led to nothing, and then one in 2007 in which they went for a solution that was less costly, limited vehicle replacement kind of program. And so I was indeed skeptical, and there was also a memo in which Toyota touted its $100 million savings in having a less costly recall. So I was extremely skeptical, but he actually was grilled quite harshly by all the Congress members, and he promised everything that they demanded of him.
Yep. Congresswoman, I want to also get your take, because obviously it was a big deal yesterday, the health care summit. What was your take on what happened yesterday and what happens now?
Well, I think that it was important so that the public could see that Republicans really did not have any solution. And, in fact, they weren't about to move this thing forward, even though so many Americans are suffering. And I think that Democrats have to move forward with some kind of bill.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, to me, was the most hopeful thing that came out of it, is that the president certainly signaled that, you know, look, we've been here 7.5 hours and the last year listening to you and trying to incorporate your suggestions. We're going forward one way or another, right?
It made it definitive, and that was good.
Yep.
What's that?
She made it definitive, and that was good.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's what I thought, is, you know, finally a little clarity and a way forward, I hope. Well, Congresswoman, we appreciate it. It's your first time on, and we appreciate it. We've been hoping to get you on for quite some time. Well, terrific. We will hear from you again, we hope. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. There she goes, Representative Judy Chu of the great state of California. All right.
The irony is, Republicans are going to say it's not a bipartisan bill, but it's taken on so many Republican ideas already. It is a bipartisan bill without their votes.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's what I hope was, you know, clear enough to the, what do you call it?
Swing voters.
Yeah, to the American people, is that... there's no reason to scrap it. Their ideas are in there.
Right.
You know, the president very calmly had to term to many of them. Well, that's in there.
They just want a political defeat for Obama. They don't care about health care.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They've
exactly.
got theirs. Why do they care?
Exactly. Someone that does care about health care, Jim. Healthcare warrior, Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York. Good morning, Congresswoman.
You're welcome for the segment.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm lousy with Congress people this morning.
Well, that's good. You can't lose as long as it's Democratic Congress.
Exactly.
But there's a lot going on. First of all, we've talked to you and I about healthcare a lot. What was your take on the summit yesterday?
I was really pleased with the summit. I think this is the major first step in Democrats punching back and counter-punching. We were elected in 2008 to lead this country, and I have just been aghast over the past year. We've been arguing amongst ourselves and dithering and wondering and whatever, and I think it's time we exhibited a little bit of backbone, a little bit of gumption, and we moved on. I think that was the opening salvo of moving on. The president clearly indicated that he'll give them another month or maybe 6 weeks if they're really serious about doing working with us. Of course they're not. I mean let's face it. What happened yesterday was political theater to a large degree, and it was political theater on both sides. But if we take the political theater and we run with it and we do what the people elected us to do, I think we'll be fine. I think if we don't, if we continue to dither, if we continue to cross every T and dot every I, if we're afraid to do reconciliation, the voters are going to throw us out, and they probably should. If we don't do what we said we're going to do, then we don't deserve to lead this country.
Well, you're right. It was political theater, but as someone from New York, you'll appreciate this analogy. Ours was like Mamma Mia, and theirs was like Xanadu. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, stop.
Ours was better.
I think the president was superb. I think that the Democrats more than held their own, and I think we're going to move forward now. And I've never understood, I think I've said this before, why we need 60 votes to do anything important like this. When, the Bush tax cuts for the rich were done with reconciliation, mm-hmm. COVID was done with reconciliation, Republicans have used reconciliation much more than the Democrats under Bush, and suddenly this becomes sacrosanct. Well, you know what? We ought to use it. We ought to call the Republicans for what they are, obstructionists. They have no intention of going forward with health care reform. They are shills for the insurance company.
Yes.
We ought to keep saying it.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Shill, baby, shill.
And, I said, Congressman, that I thought they betrayed it right off the top, as the president pointed out, by only wanting to talk about reconciliation. The president's like, excuse me, let's talk about health care. Let's try to figure out if we can come together on these ideas before we start talking about how we're going to, what's going to happen in the House or Senate next. I mean, clearly, they revealed this is all about politics for them. Always has been, right?
Always has been. And I liked after John Boehner gave one of his diatribes that the president kind of looked and said, we can all talk from the talking points we have on both sides, but, that's not really helpful in terms of trying to see if we can find common ground. I thought it was very good in what he did, how he kind of put them down, expose them. Pathetic. I have to say, you listen to Mitch McConnell afterwards and their press conference and Boehner, it's just pathetic. And if we let them get away with it, shame on us.
Exactly, Congressman. And I thought, frankly, the most pathetic example was John McCain, unfortunately. It was just like, what? He literally was fighting old battles. I mean, you said you put it on C-SPAN. It's like, what? Are you here to run the campaign again, or are you here to try to solve this health care dilemma?
Well,
you
know? They're not. I mean, look, they don't want any insurance reform. They really just don't. They couldn't give a damn about the uninsured. I mean, the attitude is, I've got mine. Who cares about these other people? What I've said time and time again is that people who think they're safe and secure and don't care about other people who are uninsured will find themselves on the wrong side of being insured, because the current system is not sustainable. It's not sustainable financially. There's this increase now in California. There's an increase projected in New York. We're going to see 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 and 35 premium increases, percentage in premium increases. And it's just not sustainable. And the whole fallacy of their argument of, well, why don't we just leave it alone and fix what needs to be fixed? It's because the system's not sustainable. And if they say one more time about a government takeover of health care and we let them get away with that nonsense, then, we're the fools.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, and after what, 7.5 hours and a year, Congressman, they kept saying, we got to scrap it. We got to start with a clean sheet of paper. It's like, no. The president said in the opening remark, we're not doing that. Here's what we're here to do. You know?
Well, scrapping it and starting from scratch really means killing it, and that's their real intent. And it's you know, we ought to call them to it. We ought to get the best possible bill we can. We ought to see how we can cobble 218 votes together in the House and 51 under reconciliation in the Senate and just pass the best bill we can. It may not be everything we'd like. It may not be, you know, everything. I want a public option. Heck, I'm for single payer, but it's not going to be everything we want. But we need to do it. We number one, need to do it for the sake of the country because the system's unsustainable and we can't keep going this way.
That's right.
Two, politically, we need to do it for the Democratic Party because we're supposed to stand for something, and if we don't stand for something, we're going to lose. The voters are going to throw us out, and the country will be the worse for it.
Yep. I thought one of my favorite moments that I thought just showed the kind of small ball the Republicans have been playing. Here we have the Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, going, Mr. President, you talked 52 minutes, and we only got to talk 24.
Yeah.
When the president had to go, well, yes, the opening segment, we got more because I'm the president.
You know,
I called the meetings.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't watch the whole thing because I had hearings and meetings and votes and stuff like that. But every time I kept coming back to my office, I kept turning it on. And I felt pretty good about it. I mean, I thought Obama handled himself really, really well. I really, you know, it's all the reasons why I voted for him. He exhibited, you know, that yesterday.
And absolutely.
I thought he made the Republicans look small and petty, and I thought he acted very presidential. And, you know, he had the resolve. I'm happy that Democrats finally have the resolve, and I hope we sustain it. If we don't, shame on us. But I have a hunch that this time we will. That I think we're going to pass comprehensive health care, and then we're going to move on to the economy and jobs and employment and things the American people elected us to do, and then let the chips fall where they may. At least we'll have done good for the country, and if we have done good for the country, I think it'll reflect favorably in the elections in November.
Absolutely. Congressman, the only thing I will say is making the Republicans look small and petty, not that hard a job. If only solving health care were that easy. But
you're right. We have to just sit back and watch because they can't help themselves. You know?
I know. Congressman Elliot Engel, thanks for always taking time for us and for fighting
the
good fight for us on health care.
Bye-bye.
There he goes.
Healthcare
warrior. All right. You know what? Here in Jersey, here's something I have to look out for, Chris.
What?
Uh-oh. A Florida woman said her love handle saved her life when she was shot entering an Atlantic City bar.
I saw that.
I did move to New York. However, I am not willing to grow love handles in order to protect, because that's why I'm doing P90X, everybody!
Hooray! Nice segue.
Thank you. All rise. Queen Segway is here. I was telling you earlier, Chris, seriously, I've been hitting the New York pizza a little hard.
Yeah.
A few pairs of jeans don't exactly fit. So,
really?
Yes.
Oh, not really. I'm in the room with her, folks. She has to run around the shower to get wet.
That's because
so
I've been doing P90X.
Oh,
what
really?
Is it, Chris? Like over a week now.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Wow.
Dave writes, Steph, I just got P90X, too, in large part based on your endorsement because I love you and your show madly.
Hooray!
And I'm excited. I'm about one day behind you. I just got my pull-up bar, and I'm taking my before pics. I wish you and I could be P90X pals because we're both about the same age, but best of luck. Because we're both old, I think, is his...
Yeah, what, is he like 70?
Shut up.
What?
I just found out a dear family friend of ours just started it, too, and she's a world-class athlete, played 4 years of varsity college soccer at Auburn, and likely will wind up playing in the new pro women's soccer team, and she said the program's kicking her ass, too.
Oh,
Dave,
in a good way.
Who is my... Yes!
Yes.
I have a... Can you take your organ out, Chris? I have a P90X confession to make.
Oh, no.
I'm a bit of an athlete. I got a little ahead of myself. I thought, I need more cardio, so I went back to spinning class, and it was the same day I was doing plyometrics, that's it.
Curling.
And I couldn't do my whole P90X workout, but here's what Tony Horton, my trainer, always says on P90X, do your best and forget the rest. So I actually had to split it into 2 days because I got ahead of myself thinking...
No.
So I did half of it one day and half of it the next day. But I won't make that mistake again. P90X, it just works. It is an amazing workout. Trust your trainer, Tony Horton, on P90X. Just do P90X, and it works. How many of you have gym memberships that you're not using or that I'm telling you, P90X, the home workout, it includes everything. You got strength training, you got cardio, you got yoga, and here's what else you got. You have a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days with Mama. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. How about that? Call now, 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or, even easier, go to stephaniemiller.com, click on the P90X banner ad, won't you? 22 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World, Celebrity Stack, and much more on Fridays with Fuglesang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, baby. 27 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 25 points. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Beverly in Chicago on Senator Mitch McChinless. Hi, Bev.
Hi. You know, you were talking about Lickalock. Have you ever noticed that Mitch McConnell looks like Mr. Magoo?
Ha! Oh, he does. You're right. You're right.
That's
thank
a bit
you.
Of
good
a beardle a turtle.
Yertle the turtle.
I think Mr. Magoo has more of an upper lip, though, don't you, Jim?
Yes, he Magoo, you've done it again.
Oh, Jim, oh, breaking out the Jim Backus. Yay.
Oh, Mr. President, you've done it again. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, gang. You know what? First of all, I'm wondering if anyone happened to notice the biggest mistake the Democrats made yesterday was they didn't invite Michelle Bachmann. As well.
That's what I kept hoping. Yeah. I'm like, I hope they only let Joe Wilson and Michelle Bachmann in with the president. That's it.
Oh, could you imagine the audio cotton candy that would have been?
Oh, heaven.
And also, Dr. Coburn, Tom Coburn, you like the way they kept using the word doctor yesterday?
Yes.
He brought up putting in an initiative in the health care bill that if you're a food stamp recipient, as a preventive health care mandate, he wanted the recipients to have to purchase quality food, not junk food. Could you imagine what Rush Limbaugh would be saying about Obama if he tried to force people to eat healthy food?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. You know what I wish the president would have said, Jim? He's too classy for this. But when, you know, like maybe Coburn brought up mandatory, having to buy health insurance, if he would have said, oh, you mean like sterilizing a woman without her consent? Like
oh,
a mandatory
dear.
Sterilization, but without asking her for... Oh, I'm sorry.
Not supposed to bring that up.
Oh, that's you. Yeah, speaking of medical mistakes, or things you did on purpose without permission.
Hack Dr. Coburn, they should call him.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What's up with you? Are you drunk? No, not anymore.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. I was writing an email to a friend the other night, and I wrote some stuff, and I was like, did I delete that, or have I started cocktail hour already?
Oh? What?
Friends don't let friends drunk email.
Oh, we can make Kennedy jokes again. It's good.
You made some jokes you took some heat for on Dick Cheney's heart attack.
Well, I kind of did, yeah, folks, because, you know, look, I don't think it's funny to make fun of heart disease. My dad's suffering from it, but, I mean, come on. The man has had 5 heart attacks. He cannot be stopped. Cheney is Chucky. You know,
yes.
And here's the thing, and I got in trouble for a joke I told, both in clubs and on the interwebs. If you're a guy who's ordered other people to torture,
yeah,
and then God gives you 5 heart attacks, it's almost like God's
trying to tell you something.
It's a little message, a little wake-up call.
It really wasn't a fifth heart attack. He was karma-boarded, folks. Got karma-boarded this week. And, the right-wingers suddenly are very sensitive about, you know, not so much about torture and 100,000 civilian deaths in Iraq, but how dare you? This guy is someone's father. He's someone's grandfather. Mm. He's sort of someone's husband. How dare you?
He's almost someone's
husband. How dare you? He's married to one of the greatest silent film actors of all time, Lon Chaney. How dare you come out and make a joke about his heart attack? And here's the thing, folks. Heart disease, not funny. Someone's suffering, not funny. But when it's Dick Cheney opposed to government-run health care, whose life was saved this week by government-run health care, and you paid for it, it kind of merits a titter.
Yes.
When this guy ordered other people to torture...
You were a normal person, you'd get dropped from your health insurance. There's no way you'd be able to afford five heart attacks.
Five heart attacks. Since 37, he started young.
Yeah, that is really young to have a heart attack.
Pre-existing condition right there.
I think
so. Exactly right.
There you go.
I think the heart attack was a cover story. I think he had to go down to hell to renegotiate his contract.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world.
We wish him well.
Yes, of course we do.
You know what your reward is for that joke, Jim?
What?
The soothing sounds of Laura Ingraham.
The anti-Viagra.
Time and again, Bill, what you saw was the president, again, looking like he's listening, right? Then appearing like kind of a, as the National Review's The Corner folks said, kind of a prickly committee chairman. So he was kind of diminished a little bit by this this whole forum. He didn't seem as presidential as he did kind of, you know, like local access county commissioner dealing with the next sewer bond initiative or something.
I don't
kind of appeared irritated.
I thought he did an okay job.
I just think he looked diminished.
Wow.
Is the sky blue on the planet she lives on?
Wow.
Bill O'Reilly,
I think exactly the opposite was true. He looked presidential, and they looked twitty.
Petulant. I think we buried the lead there. Bill O'Reilly actually complimented the president.
Bill O'Reilly actually paid him props last night. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The world is spinning off
the axis. You're wrong, Bill. You're wrong.
Is she the Roseanne Barr of the right wing at this point,
or
is it me? She's getting more nasal.
Roseanne had talent. She's just going to make some guy's life really long.
She really needs to stop saying that you copied her.
That's just stuck in your craw for
that
a long
really
time,
is.
Hasn't it?
Yes.
I started radio several hundred years before she did. I'm copying her.
We have tapes.
Yeah.
O'Reilly.
Talking Points believes the USA is now heading towards bankruptcy, and that would make every citizen sick. There's no way America can afford another multi-trillion dollar entitlement. So health care reform, yes, but it has to be smaller and more marketplace driven.
Please. Yeah, the way
that's
it's driven
now.
Driven into the ground by the marketplace.
If only our country had a budget surplus, we wouldn't have to worry about any of this.
A minute. We did have one.
You will never go broke telling people they were wrong for 8 years that they're right about everything. And that's Fox News.
Hannity on the political theater again.
In the end, this eventually was political theater at its finest, and while some have hailed it as a rare moment of transparency in American politics, frankly, the only thing that was rare about today's event was that President Obama actually gave the Republicans a seat at the table.
Yeah, because he hasn't been talking to them at all for a year.
Mark Levin's got to punch up his jokes a bit. They're not landing.
starting to fall flat.
What do you mean starting to fall flat?
Caribou Barbie on Hannity.
Maybe the beer summit was more productive and fruitful than what we saw today coming out of the healthcare summit. Maybe these guys should have popped some tops off some MGDs and gotten really down to business and gotten the work done. Because what we saw was a lot of political posturing, as had been, I guess, feared, and that did come to fruition.
Political posturing.
They seriously are paying for that. That's what they're paying for.
They're paying her to do that.
For that insight, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but that's balanced because she's the first non-fake blonde they've hired at Fox, so I respect that. Here's the thing. The beer summit was better because that was where Obama drank a Bud Light, proving to the right-wingers he's half white. But Sarah Palin this week came. This is the week we found out that Tripp Palin is on government-funded health care.
Mm-hmm.
So Grandma is not protecting Tripp from the death panels.
Mm. Jim, you can almost diagram it. It's like a, you know, how you can a Dennis Miller joke. Like, the Sarah Palin is just like folksy, stupid joke followed by word salad, right?
Right.
Yes.
Oh, Gally, that's like the beer summit was more, and also, too, there's a lot of posturing and things that went not fruitful. Oh.
And she always tries to throw in a word that's really big, but she has no idea what it means.
Yeah.
She came in fourth in the CPAC poll 2 years in a row, folks. Watch your tone, okay?
Hey, everybody. Listen up. You can see Caribou Barbie and Glenn Beck. They'll be on stage together next month with country singer John Rich.
Live sexless act.
As part of Taking Our Country Back tour.
Back, yeah. Back to back from antebellum times?
Taking our country back.
Oh, God. If that's not enough entertainment for you. A second rally has been planned for April with Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham.
Oh, good God.
The organizers hope to hold up to 10 more events and are looking to recruit more, as they call it, performers like Karl Rove and Dick Morris.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
I'd rather go on the Charlie Rangel Caribbean cruise.
Okay, Charles Krauthammer on
Charlie
the other
Rangel.
Obviously, this was all about giving the appearance of reaching out for other ideas. And it was all about setting the premise for a pivot to reconciliation, i.e., meaning the Democrats are not going to try to ram it through on a procedural trick in the Senate and try to cobble the votes required in the House.
In the last Harry Potter book, Charles Krauthammer's hair is one of the Horcruxes. Just
really?
So you know,
I did not know
it. Yes.
That. Oh. Interesting.
He speaks parcel tongue with snakes.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Jim, did you, when the president towards the end of the summit said Charlie Rangel, did you at home say...
Charlie Rangel?
I did.
I can't help
it. It's a side effect. It's a side effect of the Stephanie Miller.
It's the Charlie Rangel sound-alike contest.
That mimic
is back on again.
Tucker Carlson on the, this is the kind of compassionate conservatism we've come to expect.
Well, George Miller not only has two artificial hips, but a kidney stone. It turns out Louise Slaughter has a friend who borrowed her sister's false teeth. One of the Obama girls had meningitis, the other asthma. Barack Obama's mother passed away. All of this stuff is a species of moral blackmail. I know someone who's suffering. Oh. I am suffering. Therefore, you must accede to my point or you're a bad person. It's ludicrous.
So that's you can't really use real examples of real people.
Tucker Carlson
suffering.
is a bad person, obviously.
Yeah, yes, how's his Douchington Post site working out for him?
And those weren't just stories, Tucker. They were true. They actually happened, and they shouldn't have
really
in the
dumb?
United States of America.
I don't get it. Is this
point.
Avatar? Which ones are these real, or are they? I don't get it.
Hmm.
Okay, Mary Madeline on the Hill.
The liberals think that health care is a right.
Yes.
And conservatives and Republicans think it's a responsibility. This approach is let's have mandated government entitlement, and the Republican approach is let's have market transparency and accountability,
right.
and it will drive down prices and it'll keep up the care. Let's have that discussion. Yeah. And if you want to have it on a faulty policy process, go. Let's go.
Drive the prices down by killing sick people. That's how they do it.
Listen to me now and forget all the things I was wrong about since 1982.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. Isn't Jim Cheeks describing exactly what we're doing now?
Yes.
It's like, yes, okay,
if all
the market
sick people
is
will just die, then prices will go down.
Right. The insurance companies just made, what did I say earlier, Chris? The five top, they made like a 59% profit in the last year.
Yes, they did.
They made 59% more in this year, and they did it by dropping a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, that's
and not
how it
covering
works.
A whole bunch of stuff.
And now they're raising their rates.
Rich people pay Fox people to make middle class people blame poor people.
Right.
It works.
All right.
Exactly.
That concludes a right wing world. Oh, although I gotta wait. Chris, can I have my conspiracy snossage music? Jim, you'll love this one. Oh boy. Oh, how right wing fringy is this? Except Frank Gaffney, he's on TV all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's
yes.
supposed to be a credible right wing guy they talk to about whatever.
Whatever.
He has posited that the missile defense logo is evidence of Obama's submission to Sharia.
Yes, I saw that.
What?
He is a neocon. He's, one of the Richard Pearl guys.
Yes.
Yeah. He has firmly entered the world of right-wing tinfoil hat paranoia. His new right-wing conspiracy theory claiming the Obama administration manipulated the redesign of the Missile Defense Agency to look like his campaign logo. The theory then evolves to claims that the new logo incorporates the Islamic crescent.
Ha ha ha!
That's right.
Frank Gaffney explaining Obama's rationale behind his cuts to missile defense. How so? Well, because he's a secret Muslim, of course, which since all Muslims are out to destroy America, means that Obama's about to do the
same.
He writes, seems to fit an increasingly obvious and worrying pattern of official U.S. submission to Islam and the Theo political legal program the latter's authorities call Sharia. Watch this space as we identify and consider various ominous and far more clear-cut acts of submission to Sharia by President Obama. Oh,
thank you, General Ripper. It's incredibly obvious, isn't it?
Oh, by the way, FYI, GTK, this logo, it was used prior to the 2008 election, before there was an Obama.
Exactly my point. That's because
before there was a
went back in the time machine.
It has no link to any political campaign.
The same people warning us he's a Muslim are the same people warning us he's got a bad Christian pastor.
Exactly. Yep.
Beautiful.
And just our other favorite far-right fringer, Jim, the oily taint. this is good news for J.D., for John McCain. She's backing J.D. Hayworth.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's going to be great for him.
She's stepping up to defend J.D. Hayworth. Orly Taint, she's the dentist lawyer, birther leader.
If you have a nest of birthers, take out the queen.
She is taking offense at an ad the McCain camp released linking Hayworth with her. The ad is titled Identity. It begins, "These are serious economic times, yet some are consumed by conspiracies," before cutting to video of Tate's and then Hayworth questioning Obama's citizenship. Hmm. Tate's responded on a post on her website attacking McCain for ignoring. Yeah, because he didn't let her finish.
No, you let me finish. No, you will be done.
She attacked McCain for ignoring the most important issue the country is facing today, which, of course, is that the president is
Kenyan,
not a citizen.
Kenyan Muslim commie socialist. Yes.
Tate's called the ad, Christian, which she misspelled as ADD throughout the post.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
She called it despicable and appalling. She went on to challenge McCain to a televised debate on the president's citizenship. Yes.
I pay cash money for that.
Oh, she said, "Senator McCain owes me and my clients." I don't know if she means her dental clients or whoever, whatever. "An apology and an opportunity to discuss this matter with him on the merits on national TV on a widely watched show such as Sean Hannity's show."
Oh, God.
Oh, that's
no.
great.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, Cash, that could be pay-per-view. Oh, I would love that.
You know, here's the thing. The people who are still defending the birth certificate conspiracy, they're kind of like those Star Wars fans who still defend Jar Jar Binks. You know, like, oh, kids liked him. It was a good kids movie, episode one. Come on now. She'll find any ad hoc hypothesis, folks. Once again, the state of Hawaii went digital in 2001. Right. No one has an original Hawaii birth certificate anymore. Chuck Norris knows this, so let's see his original hair.
The McCain-Tate's debate, Jim, that's, as you know, that's the one we want to see, only slightly less than the oily taint Ross Perot. That one we want to see. Now, can I finish?
Let me finish.
Can I finish?
Let me finish. You're not letting me. Don't interrupt me.
I got a chart. Can I finish?
I have chart, too. I have big chart.
Can I finish?
I have big chart. It's in Ukrainian.
See, it's just another little improv skit by the Stephanie Miller players.
I'm David Pattison, and I'm just done.
47 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow, I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Saying I were going to make snow angels with my dogs Max and Fred in Central Park now. Woo!
That's right.
Or snow elephants.
Did you bring them to work with you?
Parks says. No. Oh.
No. Just their pheromones are all over.
52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, we have to start Celebrity Stack with a shout out to the, what's the NCAA? That's the
Basketball.
Yeah, basketball.
Yes. That's all.
I knew that.
It can also be
What's that?
It can also be football or hockey.
They have pulled their the Focus on the Family ad over complaints about the group's homophobic positions.
Good.
Hooray for them.
Homophobic positions are some of the hottest ones. They're working things out.
The NCAA pulled the, what do you call it, Focus on the Family banner ad off their website. They said the NCAA made the decision after some of its members, including faculty and athletic directors, expressed concern the evangelical group's stance against gay and lesbian relationships conflicted with the NCAA's policy of inclusion regardless of sexual orientation. There we go. Good for the gay.
As opposed to Jesus, who said focus on leaving your family behind.
Exactly. So here's another, speaking of the homophobes, Carrie Prejean is living in sin.
Oh, dear.
With her fiancé,
wow.
Kyle somebody
slut.
In St. Louis.
Look at her, slut.
She's still not hot.
She's a slut. Look at her, slut.
Yeah, but her boobs are still fake.
Yes, the superficial writes, of course, learning an outspoken Christian with fake is a hypocrite isn't exactly news. But check out the trend she started. Here's Laura Ashley, Miss Beverly Hills 2010, telling Fox News gay people should be stoned. If this pattern continues, we can pretty much count on a 2011 Miss California contender walking on stage with Perez Hilton's severed head.
I like Carrie. Carrie Prejean's kind of like a female Ann Coulter, you know? I respect that.
I've known some gay people who were stoned. College.
Chris, what was the update? Beverly Hills is saying that she's not Miss Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
she's
Beverly
actually
Hills,
even her title is fake. Along with her,
the city of Beverly Hills does not have a Miss Beverly Hills pageant. So
who is she?
We have no idea. I think she's just a fame seeker.
She's someone who has enough hate to get on Fox.
Yeah, she told Fox News that she has lots of friends that are gay. And there's no hate between her and anyone. Just because I think they should be stoned
to
death.
They deserve death, but I don't have anything against them.
Whatever, they don't care.
Hey, it's God's rule, not mine. And now we've got to stone children who are gluttons or drunk, so she's next.
As you know, gay people should be striving for marital unity, like Tiger Woods. Superficial writing, realizing the old sex edition routine was about 25 cocktail waitresses past its prime, Tiger Woods has checked himself into an Arizona rehab clinic for addiction to Vicodin and Ambien now.
Well, they were talking about the day of his accident, so that's interesting it's finally coming.
The Inquirer reports, in therapy, Tiger blamed a lot of his cheating on his drug addiction,
yes.
Saying that the drugs are responsible.
Sleep bleeping, one of the Ambien side effects.
Yeah, the superficial writes, right, because popping a bunch of sleeping pills and painkillers is the reason Tiger Woods loves so much. Before this, he was practically Amish.
Well, Tiger is Buddhist, and I want to congratulate him on a truly empty apology.
Oh, did you hear this one? Chris Brown compared himself to Tiger Woods in a radio interview.
Oh, yeah.
Saying both he and the golf icon deserve second chances from the public for their mistakes. Whatever his personal life is, and I think this goes for me and him, his personal life, it's a felony. Your personal life isn't personal. It's a felony when you beat someone up.
Why did Rihanna let that man get away? She crazy, girl. You just like Tina let Ike get away. Same thing. Chris Brown deserves to be passed around a cell block like a blunt at the Source Awards.
Chris, where is...
Send in the Oz.
Where is my American Idol sting? Here's the gossip, John.
Tell me.
Ellen DeGeneres and Simon apparently not getting along.
Really?
Who could have seen that coming?
TMZ writes, Ellen and Simon might be sitting far apart because they can't stand each other. D-listed writing, it's because she doesn't like that he's so mean to the contestants. This, of course, fuels Simon's bitch fire. Okay, is Ellen new here? Because Simon has been a bitchy-ass bitch from Bitchtown for centuries. I mean, it's in the Bible and everything. And it's hard to, dear listed, finishing by saying it's hard to watch that mess without Paula Abdul. It's like going to group therapy and find out your favorite crazy, who the one who would always tell the therapist to F off, moved or got committed.
Yeah. Although Kara has been stepping up to the crazy this season.
Oh, yeah. Is she?
Yeah, she has. She's been acting a little loopy.
Oh, with the guy with the taking the shirt off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, she's going after the guys, and that's getting a little creepy because she's married and all.
Huh.
There's two things that show is good at, generating controversy out of nothing every week for ratings and making sure the best singer finishes second.
Yes, yes.
Maybe she's trying to be the female Tiger Woods. Maybe that's her goal.
Chris, before I fly to Chicago tomorrow, can I have my screaming airline passengers sound effect, please? Nicole Richie admits she scared passengers when she co-piloted a flight recently.
Yeah.
She go the wrong way on the runway?
I wouldn't trust her on a Segway, let alone flying a plane.
She said, I flew to Montreal, and by flew, I mean I actually flew. Yeah, my partners, today. Rick and Brian, let me be the co-pilot. That was fun.
They didn't tell her the autopilot was on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are letting Nicole Richie fly the plane.
Where's my parachute?
We're letting someone who was high on Vicodin drive the wrong way on the L.A. freeway fly your aircraft.
Yeah, it's assume the crash position already. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoie, Jim Ward, Miranda Moreno, and, of course, John Fugelsang, because it's Friday.
Hot.
We'll see you Monday for The Rude Pundit and Eric Bollard from Media Matters on The Stephanie Miller Show.